seems strange, perhaps, that black South Africans can still sing, can still dance, can still create music in the face of the violence of oppression. Even the man who's walking to his execution, for example, sings. But the song that he sings, the songs that are created and played by black musicians throughout South Africa, are songs of defiance, are songs of rejection of the system of apartheid, the system that makes a black person a fourth-class citizen in his own country. The music that is created by black South Africa is a direct response to the apartheid system under which black South Africans live. Every note of music, every song that is written relates directly to the experience, and in that way it is a uniquely South African kind of music. Black music is defiant music. It's an expression of the joy of life in a country where life itself is denied to black people. It expresses the determination that every black South African will win his freedom one day. The black music cannot be explicitly, overtly political. So the way that the music is performed is subtle. It expresses in its tone, in the sound of the voice, in the sound of the instrument, in the sound of the music, it expresses this resistance and this defiance and the soul of the black South African.
1984. Going back in time with the wonderful member and developer of both this jive music and soul, if you remember, one of the essential members of the group, the Hariri, originally the Beaters. Upon their breakup in the early 80s, he would move on not only as a drumming sensation, playing in different styles, also with, for example, in jazz with Dollar Brand or Abdullah Ibrahim, but he would go on to record a series and produce a series of these very popular high-energy jive songs out of town for the township youth. This was 1984's Jive Soweto. Before that, the voice of South African music. It's implicitly political, and at this period, more and more overtly political sound. From a 1985 EP of Shona Modern Jivers from the townships, Super Sounds, their contribution, Mangarenge, and recorded an EP of music with a number of other groups from Shona Music, the title track to that EP compilation. Started the set with the Sons of Thunder from 1979 with Soweto Sporo, this sound of the youth. And then an example way back of how this jive music, referring now to popular music, kind of traditional and modern, encouraged by the authorities at one period to represent ethnic traditions. That aspect of the music would be rejected into the late 1970s. We heard Teaspoon and Dulo after that with Disco Funk before coming back to the 1985 and Super Sounds. According to the author Gwen Ansell in Soweto Blues, Jazz, Popular Music, and Politics in South Africa, the confirms kind of this turning point into the late in 1976. Turning point in many ways. On the 15th of June in 1976, the uprisings following the massacres of 10,000, well, not of 600 students who, in a protest, rather peaceful at the beginning, of 10,000 students, was harshly repressed by police, by dogs with tear gas, and then live ammunition. And the news of children dying and lying in the streets would spread across South Africa and lead to a continued moment of resistance, union actions, strikes, and military actions as well into the 1970s. It would lead, as we saw earlier in this series, to exile of more youths, their engagement and politicization in aggressive actions outside of the borders of South Africa, as well as the use and realization of the place of culture in political resistance in an even more overt way than it had been when we looked at the birth of soul and its attraction to youth trying to find a new way. Those uprisings had weird targets, not only the apartheid system, but even students and youth turned on the shebeens, the beer halls, which they blamed in part for the inadequacy of the acts and passivity perceived of older generations. The music did, and these uprisings did require a response. And right at the top of the program, we had a wonderful track from 1982 from Sakhile, their first album released in 1982. We heard Isilo. And that song was inspired by the events and massacres of June 1976 and the death of the children. They wrote the song, A Morning Song, or Soweto Blues as an alternate title, and the saxophonist in that group, Chaya Malangu, said he experienced the writings. In the book, he says, "In Isilolo, we tried to capture what happened on that fateful Wednesday. I remember on that very day we were rehearsing at the Pelican nightclub in Orlando, and somebody just came in and said, 'Hey, there's trouble outside there, so will you stop playing music?' I went home. I was still living with my parents then. It was not far from school where Hector Peterson was shot. So the township was burning. I remember seeing bodies lying down. I had to take a cousin of mine to Naledi. We got shot at, and at crossroads in White City. It was terrible. I almost died there, me, my father, and my cousin. It was terrible seeing burning cars, bodies lying in the streets. So that image never left my mind. When we got together finally with Sifo Gembe, member of the group, we were experimenting with a whole lot of things, and he wrote the song. We shaped it up in terms of arranging. We basically, we felt that these are things that had to be highlighted. We cannot sit back and say we are not part of this society that has suffered this injustice. The music resuscitated other popular musicians, some of whom had been around for decades, to deal directly with the music. This is one of those examples of a musician pianist who had worked in jazz idioms before that, and then released quite political music in the 70s and 80s. The band leader from the Eastern Cape, Tete Mbambisa, released first Tete's big sound with his song Unity, calling for just that feeling after the riots. And then in another track, the title track, in fact, to an album re-released recently, Black Heroes. On its original liner notes, it read, "A musician's song of lamentation delivered by sad artists at the graveside, blowing a hymn. This is Tete's infectious dedication to all our great musicians who have left us. A sad piece, a funeral note with distant drum chanting and calling on black gods to bless their sons and daughters with soul." Mathelani, guitarist Doctor, and Mamba Sirikli give this piece their interpretations between the theme verses. Sad rhythm in times of anxiety, hope, and faith. On CKUT 90.3 FM, this music becomes more political into the 70s and 80s, music that even will be repressed more and more on radio, looking for any signs of subversion tone and sound. Over 60% of the music submitted for broadcast from 1976 to about 1984 was refused for any form of public broadcast. band leader through over two decades of music, tribute to the resistance, the youth fallen, and the resistance of 1976, a youth movement that transformed itself along with the Black Consciousness Movement through the 1970s, and then through the result of the resistance and the accrued repression, violent at that, through the 1980s, of the apartheid regime's response to this more and more educated and reclamating and revolutionary youth that sought in a sound both national ethnic identities but a sense of modern liberation. The tones change, the attack changes, the movement and performance changes. We heard Black Heroes on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This group, Sakile, that responded to this amalgamation of new music, soul, disco, and transformed jives into a higher energy and political voice more explicitly than in the past. They said the group was based on the idea of we are building or we have built. This is their self-titled track from their first album, self-titled as well, from 1982 on CKUT 90.3 FM, Sakile.
Thank you.
the music of resistance on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal as we wind down part 9 of our series of South African music. It's soul, funk, and jazz. Part 9 looking really at this 1976 to 80s period where jive is no longer restrained by the attempts of government to provide traditional identities artificially created into a youth that is resistance, seeks education and political engagement, and the musicians respond. If you remember over the last few weeks, we've heard about how this period also marked the realization among political parties that music, culture, procession, performance were part of the revolution and resistance of the against the system of apartheid. They created a variety of groups to reflect that vision and to spread sound and ideas. Among them, we heard last week, Amandla, the cultural group, one of the ANC wings. This song comes from a later period than the recordings we heard last week. Released in 1982, this song could get you 5 years in jail, as it did for a number of musicians caught with it. Embers of Soweto, and the sound of history and what is resisted. The Amandla cultural group to end part 9 on funky revolutions of soul, funk, and jazz in South Africa.
Embers of Soweto. Out of the crucible warrior army of New Age, despising gas, baits, bullets, defying centuries of slavery, advancing without care on armored cars, striking metals with clenched fists, the warrior cry, Amasha! Rising in every throat, despising death, and the muscles of machine, and the muscles of butcher, teenagers and the 8-year-olds press forward into the piercing storm, advance into the hail of death, advance into the land and weight of centuries, and tumble into an instant. Freeze, tumble and sprawl like ragdolls. Collapsing under the barbed wire eyes, the butcher's chorus baying, Grey Star, Grey Star. Blast funnies, rising sparks, and tens, and will and saw into the red hot wind. These, the embers of Soweto, igniting the eyes at Babylon, flaming the hearts at Kubuletu, burning like wildfire in the Pointon Haven, winging with incandescent. Embers, warrior cry, and will, and saw with the collapsing child, ignites the triumphant freedom guns. Mother, children, father, people, listen, the cry phrase that dries on assassin's lips.
Of the Amandla cultural group, Embers of Soweto. And people did go to, were sentenced to 5 years in jail for possessing this cassette. On CKUT 90.3 FM, we end part 9 of our series on soul, funk, and jazz in South Africa. We'll be back right after these messages.
It's on another dimension. Don't need a whole lot of protection. Cause it gave me all I've been getting. It gave me life, hope, dreams, goals. You know. Whoa, you got to give a little love. Give a little love. Go on, just do it. You can't abuse it.
Thank you. Are listening to Free City Radio. This is the 110th edition. It is Wednesday, the 26th of May. I'm your host, Stefan Christoff. On the program today, I'm going to be featuring an interview with Kendra Cornejo, who works with Make the Road New York. This interview looks at the ways that Make the Road New York is campaigning, not just in New York City, but in New York State, for housing rights of immigrant communities, and also looking at the public school system, particularly campaigning around detentions. There is an active campaign that Make the Road New York is working on, shaped around restorative justice frameworks, which is attempting to address the systematic use of detention within public schools in New York, as this affects particularly students from marginalized communities, Black communities, immigrant communities, students who are struggling often with socioeconomic challenges within the home context, within the social context. Make the Road New York is one of the largest grassroots activist organizations in New York State. They work a lot in different boroughs of the city and also campaign in New York. Make the Road